Good morning. It might not be morning where you are. It's morning for us here right now. I've got a fresh cup of coffee. So good morning and welcome to Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Travis, and today we're doing something a little different. Don't worry, it's still about points. Nothing to worry there. But instead of talking through a program or some changes, we're having a little fun with today's episode. Each of us has been hypothetically given 100,000 points. That's it. Just 100,000 points, and we have to plan a complete round trip with flights included. Now, we're doing this at three different tiers. Emily somehow got what's probably the easiest one, a solo
just
trip.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It still probably took me longer than Matt did.
No. No excuses. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I got the middle tier. I have to do a couples trip, and Matt got the challenge of a lifetime, planning a family trip for four people. So Emily has to do it for just one person. I have to do it for two. Matt has to do it for more than Emily and myself combined, which seems
rude.
It's only fair.
Congrats. Yeah. All with points, with just 100,000 points. So if anyone says something like, oh, well, for only 5,000 more points, you could add an extra night. Ha ha. No. Like, be sure to call them out in the comments for that. I might have read ahead and know someone who does that in their option. And it might be someone who's already got the easy option there.
I'm pretty sure in previous episodes when we've done similar things like this, you've been one to really stretch the T&Cs on this. So that might be a pot meat kettle as you're drinking your cup of coffee situation.
Hey, if so, well, that's
Travis,
those episodes.
I don't know if you read the fine print, but it's 100,000 Delta miles. So I hope your trip was planned that way.
Omaha, Nebraska. Here we come. I don't even know if Delta flies to Omaha, Nebraska. Does Delta fly to Omaha? Yes, according to Google, Delta does fly to Omaha. So see, I got this in the bag. Okay. Sorry to our Omaha listeners out there. If you take offense to that, for some reason, Omaha is just what popped into my head. But hey, like, that could be really fun. You've got like the College World Series there if you're a college baseball fan. So like, for some people, Omaha, Nebraska could very well be your dream trip to book with 100,000 Delta points. But that's not... Don't let Emily distract you. That's not the deal. This isn't 100,000 Delta points. This is 100,000 points. Like, we kind of gave ourselves the ability to set in our own lane. So if you wanted to be with 100,000 Delta points, it can be. Mine's not. Definitely not going to put that juju on Matt for him to figure out a trip for a family of four with only 100,000 Delta miles. Yeah, no one-way flights, no half trips.
Oh, ye a little faith. That's all I've got to say.
Your takeaway from this should be maybe you replicate one of these, but really it's inspiration to kind of understand what 100,000 points can actually do and what it unlocks. The takeaway is, whether you are a solo traveler, a couple, or a family of four, there are trips that you can book with 100,000 points. But like, let's level set up front. You're not flying international first class to Thailand. You're not even
solo. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but like, that's okay, right? Sometimes in this hobby we get tied up in the idea of like really chasing these big fancy redemptions, but that's not always what everyone's looking for. That's not always necessary. And so we're going to show you some ways and maybe just some inspiration to think about, hey, if you've got 100,000 miles, maybe you're new to this, you're looking to take your first trip, here's some ways that you can actually deploy them to get your first trip. So copy them or just use them as inspiration. But as always, before we get into the details, we've got our hypothetical situation with today's icebreaker round. Would you rather have 100,000 flexible points or 200,000 airline specific miles?
It depends on what the airline specific miles are. Okay. Delta miles, no. Alaska miles, absolutely.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going there.
Yeah.
I would rather have 100,000 flexible points because I can still fly somewhere and stay somewhere. Because I'm alone on my trip.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, okay. I'm going to let Michael know. Let him know. He's just excluded from future trips.
Hey, my miles go further that way, you know?
I'm taking the 200 miles if they're Alaska miles because, don't let my wife hear this, but I can stay in any kind of accommodation when push comes to shove. But I prefer to be lying down when I fly across an ocean. So I'm assuming I'm going across an ocean with them. So
as the apparent tiebreaker, I got to go with Matt on this. I'll take 200,000 specific airline miles, whether it's Alaska. I'd even take American. I'd take United. Like, there's a number of programs where I would take the 200,000 airline specific miles over 100,000 flexible points. Similar reasoning. If it's just me, I can deal with the varied levels of accommodations. But that flight, I want my comfort. So sorry, Emily. You've been voted off the island. In our hypothetical situation for our episode, that is also a hypothetical situation. You lost on the icebreaker, so you get to go first.
Yeah.
with your easier one here of your solo trip. So you've got 100,000 points. You don't have to coordinate with anyone. You don't have to deal with someone's PTO schedule. You've just got yourself maximum flexibility. Where are you going? What are you doing? How are you getting there?
I am going to Malaga, Spain. And my reasoning is that it sounds pretty nice to just sit on the beach on the coast of Spain for a few days.
My first question.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? I totally thought it was like Malaga.
I don't know what I said now. So.
Ooh.
Malaga.
I think you're right, actually. According to Google's pronunciation guide, it's Malaga. So I think that's what you said. So
I don't know what I said, but we're rolling with it.
Take us to Malaga.
All right. Well, I don't think even if I had the points, either of you would be joining me on this flight excursion because I am flying economy over an ocean. Shocker. But 100,000 points, you gotta make it go.
What a sacrifice.
You gotta stretch your points.
I respect
it. What a sacrifice. So I actually found a couple different options. The first one is taking advantage of Virgin Atlantic's dynamic pricing. There are economy flights for just 15,000 points each way. I can get from Denver to Paris to Madrid for that, plus $250-ish in fees. And then, I still have to... What?
Just the fees, not your choice, just $250 in fees on an economy ticket is a tough pill to swallow.
I mean, at least you picked the Air France one here. I'm sure the one that would have been operated by Virgin directly.
Oh, yeah, would have been $1,000.
Would have been more. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So this is on Air France. And yeah, the fees are kind of a tough pill to swallow, but I can get all the way there from my home airport. There's still going to be another short repositioning flight once I get to Madrid, because I have to get to Malaga. And that I looked up and it's around $45. So I'm okay with that. It's a short flight. It's like an hour. The other option that I found would require me to reposition from Denver to Chicago, but I can fly Iberia for 16,000 avios from Chicago to Madrid, plus $102 in fees, taxes and fees. So I have a couple options there. The return flight's going to be about the same price. I found another Virgin Atlantic, bookable through Virgin Atlantic, flying Air France again, coming back from Madrid through Paris back to Denver. Same price as the first one, 15,000 points plus the fees. So I am getting my round trip flights for around 30,000 points. I'm being a little sus, right? Go ahead.
You're already at like 30,000 points and like $350 in taxes and fees, but you said you're flying to Madrid. That's not Malaga.
So you weren't listening.
Did
You just completely ignored me.
Oh no!
There's a repositioning flight on the end. It's $45 from Madrid to Malaga. It's an hour flight. I'm okay with that.
Man, clearly, all of the coffee has not kicked in yet.
You are so hooked on like poking holes in my trip that you poked a hole where there wasn't one.
All right. I'll give it to you. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. This is a long journey. This is a long journey. There's two stops.
I don't know that you're gonna get less than one anyways from the U.S.
Yeah.
Like I think the thing here though, right, is this is the length of this journey is more specifically tied to you looking like booking it as if you were actually booking this out of Denver, right? But like with your Iberia example, like you said, like someone who's in Chicago or Miami or
much
New York
route.
Yeah,
the number of cities that they fly direct, like they really can get just one stop on the journey. It's just you're having to basically reposition from your home airport.
Yeah, I thought about just pretending I lived in like Boston or Chicago or New York, but I figured let's increase the challenge a little bit.
Yeah, yours was the easy enough one as is.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll hold you to that standard.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the flights there and back, and then I'm kind of hooked on Wyndham now since we recorded the last episode, where the prices are insanely cheap, and there's more transfer partners to Wyndham now, so it makes it a much easier program to use. And I'm not gonna sell anyone on the luxury of some of these Wyndham properties, but the one that I found is called the Wyndham Grand Costa del Sol, and it's 15,000 points per night. So after spending around 30,000 points on my round trip flights, I can spend four nights there for 60,000 points total, and I would still have points left over at that point. So that's why Travis was giving me grief earlier, because if I just had 5,000 more points.
But you're forgetting an important detail.
Oh, what am I forgetting?
Virgin Atlantic and British Airways Avios are often transfer bonus destinations.
Yeah.
So
yes,
you would likely just plan this trip around one of those, and there's your savings, extra night.
Yeah. That Matt's on my team, I think.
Yep.
Hey, Matt can come on this trip.
I'm on your team for this hotel now, right? You're trying to get me to fly to Europe in economy, but this one actually has some good pictures. This looks nice. It took me a second because there's a Wyndham Grand Costa del Sol at the Lima airport in Peru, and that was the first one that pulled up for me. So if you're like trying to book this, be sure you book right Wyndham Costa del Sol in Spain, not at the airport in Lima, Peru. They look very different.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like perfectly lovely for a 4 or 5 night stay. The fact that I could get somewhere and stay for like 4 or 5 nights on 100,000 points, I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, and I'm with Travis on the hotel, just pulling up the gallery and looking at the photos of it. It looks pretty nice, not going to lie, especially for 15K a night.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty nice. And I mean, like, I know we're not in the business of just making caveats, but if you wanted to bring a second person, you would really only need 30,000 more points, okay? It's not that much more. I think you could get there.
I think since our last recording, Wyndham must have really put a lot of weight into our feelings, because it seems like their website and pictures have improved a little bit. They're now like college intern level pictures for things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in staying there.
Yeah,
I'll give it a go. The other thing that is part of this too is, of course, I have ultimate flexibility, right? Because I'm one person, so I can go whenever I want. Mm-hmm. But I was finding the pricing on the flights, even into like May, some June flights. So if you're looking for summer, or like if you're planning for 2027, like it's not just totally off season that these are available. Like you can find them relatively easy in a time when you would want to go.
Yeah. Nice. And it looks like this might be, and I'm going to use air quotes for this, but like an all suites property, depending on how you define suite. Like looks like their base room is called the Deluxe Junior Suite.
They really did listen to me. I think I said that last time, just call it the Junior Suite. Yeah.
But like nice things here too is even though you as a solo traveler might have this ultimate flexibility, since Wyndham's award chart is fixed, it's like if their base room is available, you're not worried about, oh, I'm trying to go to Spain and to this beach destination in the middle of summer. If the room's available, it's 15,000 points. Like they're not playing those games with it.
Yep.
So kind of sounds like, I mean, it's one person, so, but sounds like availability for this option is pretty realistic, and you're prioritizing the experience over the comfort here. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, I'm spending like 20 plus hours in economy.
The sacrifice here is unreal. Noted.
But I mean, like,
let's be real. Are you actually spending 20 hours in economy, or are you spending like 10 hours in economy and 10 hours in airports?
But I mean, pre-points and miles, like I wouldn't even have even second guessed that. So pretty standard trip, I feel like. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to flex on both of you and still do business class and stay somewhere for like 4 to 5 nights on my solo trip. But at some point you got to give it up. And I would rather stay somewhere for longer than fly somewhere in business class, which I think is not the way you both feel.
It depends.
I don't think I can actually say anything as the person who took a weekend trip to Vietnam just to fly Cathay Pacific first class. So.
Yeah, I think you got to stand your ground there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm... all right, my couple's trip?
Let's do it.
Let's hear the couple's trip.
All right, couple's trip. Unlike Emily's trip, mine's actually going to cost you $0 out of pocket for the flights and hotels. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no fees, no taxes on anything. Had to get... no, again, we're not.
Is this where you're saying, yeah, you just use your flight benefits because you know a flight attendant or something, and
yeah.
That's how you get your flights.
Yeah, absolutely.
For no taxes and fees.
Yeah. You know, like, sure, maybe you're willing to pay a little bit more in those taxes and fees to fly to Europe. But like with two people, I've got to stretch the points twice as far as Emily did. And so I'm saving you some money out of pocket here. Too, but don't worry, I'm sure that there will be plenty of opportunities to rag on some of my decisions here. I obviously immediately was like, can I pull this off like flying long haul international business class? Short answer is absolutely not.
No.
And that's okay, right? Like all of this is just about setting expectations and understanding where your points can take you. And that's cool. Like, yes, it would be cool if we could pull off 100,000 points international round trip business class plus enough nights to make it worth it for two people with 100,000 points. But just level setting expectations, that's not possible. But it doesn't mean that you still can't take a great trip. I'm keeping it a little closer to home so that way I can stretch the points a little bit further. We're going to Costa Rica. I loved it, had a great time, and it came to mind as a great place for a couple's trip. So how do we make 100,000 points get you there for your flights and your hotel? We're actually going to rely on cash fares here. Now, I know I said you're not paying anything out of pocket. You're going to book your flight through the bank's portal. I did make the assumption that you're getting 1.5 cents per point. We can push back on that if we want, but then it makes my whole scenario break down. But if you can get 1.5 cents through your bank's portal, which is not an impossible hurdle by any means. I checked a variety of airports, Houston, LA, Miami, New York City. I stopped there because basically every single one, flights could be had for around $300 round trip. Some were a little less, like it ranged from like $275 to $325 to fly down to Costa Rica. So that's $600 total. If you're getting 1.5 cents per point, that's going to be 40,000 points to book your flights.
That's for both people.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's solid. Yeah.
Now again, like here's about level setting. Most of these were operated by Spirit. There were some operated by JetBlue. So you are going to be probably even more uncomfortable than Emily is on her flight to
And
to
I'm assuming Europe. Those are not big front seats in Spirit.
That is not included in my 100,000 points determination here. So no, but honestly, as bougie as I am sometimes on my long haul flights, I've flown Spirit a number of times. I have a bag specifically for when I fly Spirit.
Oh.
Yes, I do.
Usually carry a Spirit bag? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm not checking anything. I'm not checking luggage if I'm flying Spirit.
Sometimes I think you're not even carrying anything on if you're flying Spirit.
Like for shorter trips, like I make it work.
Yeah, you
know? we're not packing a different pair of shoes. We're wearing one pair of shoes for the whole trip, because otherwise, like, there's no room for anything else. But you know, from the Northeast, there were flights operated by JetBlue, so a little bit higher standard of a carrier. That's going to be my caveat here, right? Is we're trying to stretch the points between more people. We're sacrificing a little bit more of that comfort to do so. But I also just think it's reasonable, right? Like, I think when a lot of people, if they're looking to book cash fares and they see that the United flight was $600 or the Spirit flight was $300, like your typical traveler is probably going to book the Spirit flight. I know that doesn't apply to everyone, and that most people listening to this are like more knowledgeable about the different airlines and their products and like understand those differences, but honestly, like it's fine. It's a fine experience, and it can be a good way to stretch your points farther. So 40,000 points, since you're booking through the portal, that means no taxes and fees. Of course, like Matt kind of called me out with the caveat of if you're going to choose seats or anything, like you do have some fees there. I'm just assuming you're going like the full Spirit experience.
Bare bones, yeah.
To make this happen. For our stay, I am also using Wyndham here. Yeah.
I feel like the Hyatt award chart changes really leveled the playing field.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, seriously.
The only Hyatt option that I could make work was the Hyatt place at the San Jose airport in the capital for 5,000 points a night. But like, no one's going
to go stay at the airport.
Yeah.
People aren't going to stay at the airport. I wanted this to be like a realistic trip that someone who's looking for a vacation is going to take. And like Hyatt was just not an option. Marriott and Hilton, not options. I've got 60,000 points here, right?
Like, yeah.
It's just not working. But Wyndham has the Wyndham Tamarindo Resorts. This is over on the Pacific Coast. Sorry, my brain has to go through all of the directions to actually think through that. It's on the Pacific Coast. Again, like despite what I said on the last podcast, like Wyndham must have upped their game. Like this looks nice. It looks like a solid like upper mid-tier hotel, right? You're not getting Four Seasons. We're not breaking into the luxury tier, but it looks very comfortable, much more than accommodating. It sits up on a hill overlooking the beach with an infinity pool that like reading reviews, people really rave about. There's a local shuttle from the hotel that you can take down to the beach, to their beach club, or like into downtown Tamarindo. So, you know, you can do the pool experience, you can do the beach experience. Either way, like Emily's, 15,000 points per night. So with your leftover 60,000 points, you're getting four nights, you know, 5 days / four nights, however you want to look at it. Like a decent time for a trip that's not 20 hours of travel time.
Yeah.
honestly, like, the only negative that I read about this place, like, a lot of people really raved about it, actually. Like, they said the service was really good. The people were really nice. They loved the views. I felt compelled to warn people about this based off of the few things
I'm
read.
Intrigued if you're by looking what this is going to be.
To duplicate this, you're in Costa Rica. Like, part of the charm of Costa Rica is the more rugged landscape, the wildlife, being more immersed in nature. And sometimes of the years, like, the grasshopper season comes in and kind of, like, in the evenings kind of takes over the hotel a little bit.
Totally thought it was going to be monkeys. Nope, grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers. Grasshoppers. Like, so much so if you Google, like, Wyndham Tamarindo resort reviews, like, most of the top reviews are people talking about the grasshoppers. So, like, be...
Okay.
I warned you, right? Like, I let you know that this is a potential problem, but I also saw a lot of people saying, like, it's still great.
Giant grasshoppers up to 10 inches long and quite hefty. Those aren't grasshoppers. Those are freaking dinosaurs, man. 10-inch long grasshopper? Jeez.
Yeah, I warned you, right? Like,
you did.
It's one of those, like, as someone who hasn't stayed there... I can't validate this, right? I couldn't find any pictures of
the grasshoppers
situation. Okay. I just saw, like, a couple of reviews of people mentioning these. So just since you're doing this as a couples trip, if anyone is has a bug phobia, like, maybe this trip isn't for you.
This isn't fun to read the description. You know, every evening they appeared in large numbers, filling the pool area, restaurant, and outdoor hallways. These grasshoppers were unpredictable, flying erratically, and sometimes landing on guests. You could hear the loud thuds as they hit the door. I'm just picturing, I don't know if you've ever seen, I think it's like down in like Louisiana, like on the bayou and stuff, where people are riding their boats and the carp are just jumping out of the water like crazy. And they can like injure you because they just, you know, they weigh a lot. I'm just picturing that, but with 10-inch long grasshoppers.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't validate this. So if you take this trip, please let us know if the grasshopper thing is like real or people blowing out of the water. Like, I don't want to judge people, but it's a little difficult because other than the grasshoppers, everything else I read sounds really nice. Like, it still has 4+ stars on most of the major review sites. So, like, my brain says if this were really that big of a problem, like, it wouldn't get as good reviews as it does. I think it's more just this is unexpected, so people are calling it out rather than it being a like grasshoppers are grabbing my children and flying away with
grasshopper, a giant grasshopper invasion.
So you've been pre-warned. There was enough about it that I felt it was at least important to call out and inform anyone before they book this, because I don't know how bad it actually is.
What's the grasshopper per point ratio at that property?
I think I guess you want it grasshopper per point or point per grasshopper.
You want as low as possible. If it's grasshopper per point, you want the lowest percentage possible.
Yeah.
Good question. Okay. Why don't you go? You can actually take Michael on this trip with you and report back. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good for research. Yeah.
Yeah. Point the takeaway here, right? Yes, the grasshopper thing. It's kind of funny. Takeaway is that, like, stretching your points between more people might mean getting a little bit more creative. It doesn't have to be hard, but it means understanding those options that you have a little bit more. With Hyatt Changes, with Hyatt Changes, just like Emily, leveraging Wyndham can be a good way to secure some lower rate night options at, like, 3.5 star hotels, I think, is probably a good way to classify this one. And leveraging cheap flights through a portal instead of focusing on transferring those to an airline partner are some of the strategies you can leverage to take a trip for two with just 100,000 points to somewhere nice and grasshoppery.
Mm-hmm. Well, shall we hand it over to Matt here?
Oh, yeah. Big, how many grasshoppers does Matt give us for
hopefully people? Zero. Hopefully zero. All right. Family of four, including round trip flights and hotel for 100,000 points. We're going to Orlando for 3 or 4 days at the theme park. I don't know. It sounds like a great American vacation if I've ever heard of one.
Yeah.
How are we getting there? We live in the Southeast, so we'll take the Delta flights from Atlanta to Orlando. You can book these for 5,500 miles per person each way, but not with Delta SkyMiles. Those will run anywhere from 10 to even upwards of 30,000 SkyMiles per person each way for the same flights. So we're gonna transfer our points over to Flying Blue and book them that way. You'll pay about 10 or 11 bucks per person each way in taxes and fees. So nowhere near what Emily's Flying Blue experience was going to cost. or I guess that was Virgin, but still close enough. So here, this quick little highlight on the potential value of simple transfer and alliance partners. Understanding those allows you to save a ton of miles on the flights for literally booking the exact same seats and the exact same flights.
Yep. Yeah.
22 or 44,000 points total for a family of four.
Round trip. Yeah.
Yeah. That's solid.
Yeah.
Cash prices here range roughly $200 a person. Obviously that can vary. So giving you if you're into the cents per point, gets pretty close to 2 cents per point here, which is a great value. So other option, travel portals, depending on things, kind of like Travis was looking at. Found flights on Frontier for as low as $85 and Spirit for $92. So you could, in theory, book these at a travel portal or use like a, you know, purchase eraser type benefit on some of your cards. Mm-hmm. So if you were to go the purchase eraser type, that'd be $8,500 or $9,200 round trip per person. So even lower, but kind of like we talked about earlier with Travis, both Frontier and Spirit are low-cost carriers, so there's literally hidden costs everywhere. Carry-on, seat selection, breathing the oxygen on the plane, anything and everything and more, you're going to have to pay for it. So while on the surface those points options look even better, if you can meet essentially like literally no, if you have your own Spirit bag, then this could be an option. But otherwise, it's probably not going to be a cost savings. One other thing to factor in here too is one of the many ways that these low cost carriers typically are able to operate is because they're flying at like non-peak times. So, you know, think 8, 9, 10 p.m. departures and even later arrivals, or 5, 6, 7 a.m. departures and arrivals. So, you know, family of four going on to and from vacation, that may, from a practical standpoint, not be a great solution here. Pay a few extra thousand points for some more flexibility.
I feel like if I was a family of four, like 8,500 points per person to fly Frontier Spirit versus 11,000 to fly Delta on a main classic ticket, I'd take the Delta one because, like you said, it's probably a better time. You should get to select seats, like at least like standard seats, without having to pay for them, which Frontier and Spirit you won't. You'll get a carry-on instead of having to have a Spirit bag. like, it's a small, I almost said Delta, but it's a small Delta in points paid. But like when you're traveling as a family, I think most people would say that it's worth it for just the reduced logistical stress that's going to come from it.
Yeah. When the difference is that small, I don't think it's really a second thought. But
yeah, well, and one other thing too, again, Frontier and Spirit are very point to point type low cost carriers, and they don't have the operational redundancy in place. So when things go wrong, they go very wrong. We've talked about it before, and you see it here where a Spirit flight gets delayed and people are kind of stranded for 2 or 3 days until they can kind of get caught up. So not saying that always happens. They operate plenty of flights a day just fine. But in those particular cases, just the nature of their route network structure, when things go wrong, they go real wrong real quick. Whereas like Delta has essentially like a flight every other hour from Orlando to Atlanta. So, you know, super easy in time of trouble or difficulty to have lots of redundancy or other options. So super important for family of four traveling together.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Cool. All right. So we got into Orlando. Where are we staying? We're staying at the Voco Kissimmee Orlando. And this is a brand I had never heard of. It's an IHG brand. Points are 16,000 per night. So transfer over to IHG. So this is going to let us stay for 3 nights in a, you know, 2 queen bed room, which is, again, perfect utility for a family of four. Cash rates here for a lot of dates I was looking at, like $120 to $150 bucks. So super inexpensive.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the theme of this episode. This is not a Ritz-Carlton we're staying at, but honestly, I was pretty pleased with looking at the photos of the hotel. Like, nice, classic, looks recently renovated, kind of has like a retro feel to it, but an updated retro feel, like, which was kind of nice. So great pool, everything you would need in a hotel that you're probably not going to be spending a lot of time at. So
I think, Matt, is zero grasshoppers. And I think,
Yeah. I mean, I can't confirm, but I did not see grasshoppers mentioned in the reviews. So, could be cockroaches, but no grasshoppers. Who knows? This is the South.
One interesting thing here too, this is going to be a little bit of a gimme for you, Matt. You mentioned cash rates at 120 a night.
Yep.
If you're booking that at even 1 cent per point,
correct,
that's actually 4 nights that you could book as well.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. I was considering that, but also IG, kind of like I mentioned earlier, is a routine or semi-regular transfer bonus. Well, I don't know if I say semi-regular. We have seen some IHG transfer bonuses in a not too infrequent manner recently. So if you time that up well, you could stretch that even further. But yeah, if you find a stretch of nights where a super low cash rate, then yeah, absolutely. Travel Portal could be a great play here.
And although I say that, it's funny how the math starts to math, because IHG does fourth night free, right? So that 3 night for 48,000 would be the same for 4 nights as well. So either way, the same amount of points, you can stretch it.
Exactly.
All of us managed to pull off a 4 night stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my contribution.
I think you did great.
Thank you.
Great. So yeah, no grass. I mean, you both went on probably the grasshopper experience for sure. Obviously, like, there's certainly some nuances and caveats to each of our examples, right? All of them, the flights are going to come down to, as always, the availability being there. In my case, like, the pricing holding stable, which might not be always the case. Finding hotels that are nice and comfortable, not necessarily that luxury. Obviously, if you've got one person, you can go a little bit farther, right? Emily going to Europe, 2 people, I was able to keep it a little closer to home, but still international. I think Matt's approach of what's a typical family vacation? Hey, let's go down to the Orlando area, maybe hit up some theme parks. It's ways to utilize the same amount of points. It's just the more people you have, it becomes a little bit more challenging. And I was glad that I didn't have 4 people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just about finding the creative ways to use them. And at the end of the day, like, is business class fully off the table? Like, internationally, probably. But like, I don't think most people got into points and miles just so that way they could fly international business class. They did it to be able to travel, whether it's themselves as a couple or with their families, and save on it. And so it's about leveraging the points to get the travel experiences and not necessarily chasing the most glamorous options here, while realizing that, like, you know, you don't need to use, as great as they can be for more than one person, like, companion passes, whether it's with Southwest or some co-branded cards, will give you a companion pass type thing. If you're interested in those, I believe we have a previous episode about the various companion passes that we'll link in the show notes. But while these can be useful strategies, like, the stars don't have to align. That's kind of the takeaway. It's like, you don't have to be in this very specific particular situation where you've only got 100,000 points plus this companion pass, plus we're adding some like hotel free night certificates on top of it, right? Because the reality is, for that to be true, you're talking multiple cards to get the free night certificates, multiple cards to get the companion pass. These are all like very real examples of 100,000 points, probably from just one card.
Yeah, I think that's the key for me is like the reason we picked this number of points is because it's like one, maybe two card bonuses. Mm-hmm. So you really, you're not going deep just to be able to pull one of these kinds of trips off. Like we have a whole series on our website too called Two Card Trips, which I think is a great introduction for people who are just getting started of like, this is a very realistic hobby. And it's not, you don't have to be trying to fly four people in business class to Thailand just to get started.
Man, I wish we had two cards to work with, though. That would have made this a lot easier.
I know.
That
would have been
nice. Yeah, like all of these examples, they're doable. They're repeatable. They're not requiring the perfect scenario to align to pull it off. Of course, you might see some variations, probably more particularly on the flights. We all picked hotels that generally, like the points pricing, their programs are pretty stable, but maybe a bit on the flights. But like these aren't unicorn scenarios. They're realistic scenarios that many people should be able to repeat. And if you're new in your journey and you've just gotten your first bonus and you're wanting to take that first trip, like, use these as inspiration for maybe some options, but also where to look. So let's kind of break this down. All right. You can vote for yourself if you want. I was going to say you can't vote for yourself, but which formats, solo, couple, or family stretched 100,000 points the farthest?
I don't know, Matt or Travis. I can't in good conscience vote for myself because there were a lot of taxes and fees. So one of you guys can take the W.
I mean, I feel like I got to give it to Matt here. Like the honest truth is like it did require a bit just to put together something for two people. Like I had a variety of options. Like most of mine were Mexico, Latin America, the Caribbean, some like Northern South America options, but like I was limited to a pretty specific but still multiple countries options. It was just about cool, which one of these like seems the most interesting to me. So I'd probably give it to Matt for being able to put together like the same duration of trip as both of us.
Yeah, it's not just a one-nighter in Orlando.
Or hey, you don't even need the hotel. Just fly here for a day with your family. Or fly in the morning.
Put your camping tent in your spirit bag and just sleep camp out in the parking lot. It'd be perfect.
I'd probably give that to Matt. I mean, he spread it across four people, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I think this is just a great exercise to show how you can make points work for pretty much every person in every situation. The more people you add into the equation, the different and slightly more challenging it becomes. But at the end of the day, like you said, we all pretty much still plan like a 4-day vacation for the same number of nights. The only sort of different factor in here was the number of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how far you can go.
Yeah. Emily traveled across an ocean and I flew across the state of Georgia. So, you know, tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
I think the other interesting thing about this is kind of realizing I don't think any of us went for a cent per point maximization here, right?
Like no.
Yeah.
Like we all went for maximizing enjoyment, right? Like
well, I think the only thing we looked at was the cost comparison from the sense of, oh, we should double check this in the travel portal to see where we might be able to save more points if the cost the cash cost was low.
Most of our redemptions like are right in that 1.5 to 2 cent per point. Like
I mean really the only way I could have gone for max value is if I flew business class on Iberia from Boston to Madrid, but then that eats up basically 65% of my points, 70% of my points. So then I'm flying round trip business class to stay somewhere for one night.
Or find one of those 5K per night Wyndham properties.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'd rather be uncomfortable on my flight there and get more out of the time at the destination.
Yeah. I mean, if I could encourage listeners, like, the takeaway here, maximize enjoyment. Like, don't chase the cent per point, you know, like, use your points to maximize your enjoyment, whether that's beaches in Spain, a family trip to Orlando, or like, if you are a grasshopper enthusiast, right? Like, I have got the perfect trip for you. Kind of last question before we wrap this up. Does this kind of change how you view a 100,000 point welcome offer?
Yes. I mean, I think it just is a great demonstration for like how much you can really do with just one welcome offer. I think it also kind of forces you to think about your travel options. Mm-hmm. At least when you're doing an exercise like this, it was way less about, oh, like, where would it be cool to go to? And way more about, okay, like, what is actually available? Yeah. Where can I go? Mm-hmm. So at least for me, in kind of like getting an idea of what was possible, some of the like award searching tools where you can type in like Denver to anywhere really mm-hmm. helps, because then you can kind of like filter for lowest point options, especially if you're in Matt's scenario where you're like, I can't spend more than 10,000 points per person round trip for this. So at least in this type of exercise, if you're really trying to like complete your first redemption with your first welcome offer and get the practice in, this is a great way to figure out, okay, like, I can really actually go somewhere with just these amounts of points.
Yeah, I use the same, but on Google Flights, they have like the Explore tool. So you put in your starting airport and click Explorer, and then you can filter for prices, right? So I tried to find right around less than $300 per person. So that way I had enough left for the hotels. I know I said that would be my last question, but I kind of had one more that came to mind. When you were putting together your trip, where did you start? Like, did you start with finding the flights, kind of knowing, like, I need to have this many left over for the hotel, so where can I go with this flight budget? Or did you start with the hotel and then work backwards on the points? Like, what was the approach that you took to putting together your 100,000 point trip?
I started with flights, and then once I found a few options that might work, then looked at hotels to see if I was going to even have any options, because, you know, obviously if flights work but hotels don't, then that doesn't work. So I mean, we would have to kind of start over. So but that was kind of the order I went in.
Yeah. I kind of started by figuring out how many days I would want to stay somewhere for, like what would make the trip worth it, and then backing into like, okay, what's the cheapest mid-tier hotel I can stay at and how many points will it require for at least 4 nights? And then that left me with my flight budget, which is why I'm in economy for 30 hours or however long it is.
Yeah.
Typical of how, my methodology was typical of like how I book travel. Mm-hmm. It's usually the flights for me are the hardest thing to find because I want to be nuanced and particular about what I want to fly. And I know that I can find a place to stay pretty much anywhere I go, whether I use points for it or not. You know, that to me is less of a priority than how I get there.
Yeah. Same. I also kind of took the same approach, like start with my flights to figure out where I'm going. And I just know that there's going to be more hotel options than there are flight options is kind of what it comes down to. That's why I think we all kind of started that way once you know where you're going, use your remaining ones to figure out what hotel works for you. So any final thoughts?
Not for me.
Crown Matt the champion.
I'll give it to Matt unless you're a Grasshopper fan, in which case, like, undisputed king right here. I mean, I'm even wearing, you know, a green shirt today in honor of the Grasshoppers. That was totally intentional and not something I'm just kind of coming up with.
If I had known, I could have actually worn some Grasshoppers gear because one of the local minor league baseball teams is the Greensburg Grasshoppers.
Oh, yeah.
That's cute.
They should be sponsored by the Wyndham Tamarindo.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, here you are, 100,000 points. It's not unlimited, but it's also not a fantasy that you can't take a trip, whether you're a solo couple or a family of four, with just 100,000 points. Clearly, they can still be powerful. It's just about understanding what kind of opportunities they can unlock for you and your travel journey. So if this episode gave you ideas, strategy shifts, or confidence that 100K is enough to go somewhere meaningful, like, that's the win. That's the takeaway. Understanding you don't need 500,000 or a million points to put together a trip. So before we wrap up, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that we are obsessed with helping you get more out of every point and every dollar that you spend on travel. And I do want to do some shameless self promotion here, a plug of something we built that helps put all of that in one place. We just recently launched our revamped membership of 10X Travel Plus. We went back to the drawing board, looked at it from the ground up, and put together a package that will really help you get more value out of your points and miles. For only $10 a month, you get real-time award alerts, you get benefit tracking across all of your cards. That's one of my favorite features. You know, all of those credits as mini cards become coupon books. It's a nightmare to keep up with. Knowing that I have a tool now to check those credits and be sure that I'm actually getting the value from them is really nice for my peace of mind. We've also built a private community with our team and fellow members who are just into this stuff as you are. So whether you're looking for award alerts, which include some of these, I actually went to our award alerts for some inspiration to try to find a potential example there. You're looking to track your benefits. If you've ever wondered which card to use when checking out, right? Well, one of the features as well tells you, hey, you're open it up. I'm going to buy groceries. Cool. This card gives me the most points back on groceries. If you're wanting to see more award alerts, forgotten to use that card benefit, wondered which card to swipe at checkout, or just want a smaller, more private community to talk points and miles in, this is built for you. There's a 14-day money-back guarantee, so check it out. Nothing to lose. Head to 10xtravel.com/10xtravel-plus. Link is down in the show notes for more information, and we will see you next time.
Bye.